Daf Yud Gimel, the fourth widest line. The widest line is down at the bottom. The fourth line, right in the middle of the line, we have Amar Rabbi Ila. Right? Amar Rabbi Ila Brei Derav Shmuel Bar Marta Mishmei Derav. Said in the name of Rav. Omar Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. If somebody said Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad V'ne'enas B'Sheina, and then he dozed off, Yatza, he's Yaitza. What does this mean? That this is enough? You don't need to say the rest? The rest is optional? So no, the Paiskim stress, the Rush is the first to stress this, but the Paiskim stress that no, it certainly does not mean that he skipped the rest of the Kriya Shema. That's why I said he dozed, I didn't say he fell asleep. So the first pasuk he said alert, awake. And then he started nodding off and he mumbled the rest while he was dozing. That's the point. The first one he said, the first pasuk he said with an alert mind, and the rest he said while dozing, the point being that he didn't have proper kavanah. So that we're saying he's yoytze. He certainly said it all. He's yoytze because, as we saw earlier, kavanah is essential only for the first pasuk. Certainly you should have kavanah for the whole thing, but you can be yoytze kriya shma once you have kavanah for the first pasuk. Omar le'rav Nachman le'doru avdei. So therefore, along similar lines, Rav Nachman told his servant Doru, "Mipsuke kama tsara. If you see me dozing off when I'm reciting Kriya Shema, so for the first pasuk, harass me, meaning keep nudging me, poke me in the side. There's instructions from a master to a servant, right? Poke me in the side, bang me in the head, whatever it is. Make sure I say that first pasuk fully awake and alert." Fate like the Tsaron, but after that, don't harass me if I'm dozing Nishkeferlo. It's okay. Now, Omar le Rav Yosef le Rav Yosef prey de Rav. Rav Yosef asked Rav Yosef, the son of Rabba, Avuch heche avavid. What was your father's practice? Omar le, so he said, similar idea. Bipsuke kame avakometzaron avshe. The first pasuk. You know, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's where Kavanah is prerequisite. You cannot be Yotze without that. There, he would exert himself and push himself to say it, alert and awake. Tfei lo yavu mitzara nafshe. But past that, he wouldn't push himself too hard. Now, let's just understand, what does this mean? On a regular basis, he was sitting in Ma'ariv and Shul and dozing off. So first of all, just to put this into perspective, we'll first note that as we've seen earlier, Ma'ariv they davened earlier, we're talking, and they would say Shema to be Yotze the Chiyu in bed. Kriya Shema Lamita. Oh, Buch Maboy, missed you. So, they would often repeat the Kriya Shema Lamita. So, that kind of puts into perspective this whole discussion. Yes, it's the last thing in the day, Mamish falling asleep already, and he's saying Shema. You'd give along with Beis, where, in the middle of the widest lines at the bottom. Okay, the point here is clear enough. Kavanah is prerequisite for the first pasuk only. There you must make sure to be alert and focused on what you're saying. After that, if a person is dozing, you don't have to be moiser nefesh too much to stay with the proper kavanah. Yeah, I just want to finish. That's a semicolon, not a period. The point being, but again, as we're stressing now, if you're sitting in shul davening Ma'ariv, you're going to have to wake up anyways for Shemoneh Esrei. So you can wake up for the Hakta also. Like I was saying, that this puts it into perspective, understanding that yes, in those times, they generally, the Shema that they were Yotze with was generally what they said right before going to sleep. They davened Ma'ariv early, as we saw at the beginning of the Masechta, Rashi told us.
There's a question kind of off the gun. Kavanah God now will be the God for all of the world in the future. I never saw that as like, you know, Kabbalah is supposed to hack. That's like Pshat of the Pasuk.
The truth is, when I gave my whole exposition on the Pshat and the Pasuk, I didn't mention that Pshat. But no, both Pshat are very clearly mentioned. This Pshat that you're mentioning, Hashem Elokeinu, the Hashem, who's our God now, Hashem Echad, will ultimately be recognized as the only one. And sure, absolutely, you can be yotze with that Kavanah too. The point is, it's all really the same idea. I mean, all the same general theme. And the point is, yes, to have Kavanah of the words, if you had in mind this Pshat as opposed to that Pshat, that's fine. But I will stress, though, that the Kavanah of the actual name of Hashem, Yudke Vavke, being Haya Hoyve V'yeh, He was, He is, and will continue to be, and a little bit more than that, He caused all of existence, He causes all of existence, and He will continue to cause all of existence. It is good, one should attempt to be thinking that also when he's saying the Yudke Vavke. And then yes, that's, you have that simple Kavanah in mind. If you don't want to spend 45 minutes thinking of all the things we discussed, but you have that simple Kavanah in mind, certainly that's fine. Hoya Hoya V'yeh might be Ma'akim. Yeah, I mean, one should have in mind Hoya Hoya V'yeh when saying Yud Kei Vav. Yeah. Okay. Now we move on to a new point. Omar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, Prakdon lo yikro kriyashma. A prakdon should not say kriyashma. Meaning, don't say kriyashma in prakdon position. What's prakdon? So prakdon has two opposite meanings. Prak, kedam, which means a person who's lying on his face, and prak, kedal, a person who's lying on his back. You're not allowed to say kriyashma lying on your back or lying on your face. Why? Oh, Bukhim Abayim. Oh, we have a double mazel tov for a grandson. The Nechemiah is coming back from his grandson's bris in the States. Mazel tov and a lot of nachas. Oh, wow, mazel tov. Oh, so there's some... I'm not the only just father in this group. Oh. Mazel tov, what's that?
5 weeks ago.
Mazel tov. Wow, so what's the name? David Zachariah. Just called the Gadla, the Torah, the Chuppah, the Masam Toivin. A lot of nachas. What's that? Amen. Okay. So Zaydis and fathers. What's that? No. I mean, we're just saying in the sense that the two of us are just fathers. Okay. So, you're not allowed to recite Kriya Shema lying on your back or lying on your face. Why? So Rashi says lying on your back is not, certainly not, it's a haughty way of saying Kriya Shema. When a person is applying for a job, we'll just talk about that. A person is applying for a job, coming for an interview. The boss might be leaning back in his chair, but the guy getting the interview isn't. He's sitting up straight, right? So to be leaning back like a bala boss, you know, that's not an appropriate way to say Kriya Shema. Lying on your face is certainly not a respectful way to be relating to somebody else. What's that? That's true. We're going to see even more. It's not even appropriate to sleep that way. We'll see soon. But again, here we're talking specifically about Kriya Shema, which was often said right before going to sleep in those times because they davened Ma'ariv early. Okay. Oh, okay. That we'll see. That's coming up. I'll put it. Okay. So now the Gemara says. So. What's that? It apparently is not ma'akev. We're not talking about Kriya Shema Lamita, okay? Here we're talking about Kriya Shema of Ma'ariv. But apparently it's not ma'akev, but it's Ikar Adin. Yeah, it's an Issa. Now, Kriya Shema, so the Gemara infers, Mikro Hu Deloy Likri. So, you seem to be saying that the only problem is, yeah, you Gimel Amud Beis about 8 lines up from the bottom. Right? The implication is don't say Kriya Shema that way. But Hamikneh Shapir Dami, but you can sleep that way. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, but we know that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Layit Aman Degoni Aparkid. He would curse somebody who slept in prakton position, meaning either on your back or on your face. Why? This is two completely separate issues. There's no problem sleeping in a haughty state, but the problem is something else. Sleeping on your face is the more obvious problem. If you're sleeping face down, the issue is that Jews in general try to avoid unnecessary erection and unnecessary seminal emission. When you're lying on your stomach, you are much more prone to both. You're lying mamish on your organ. So that's forbidden. Lying on your back, the problem is, well, two possible explanations. Rashi gives two explanations in two different places. A person might, often you sleep, a person might, his organ might stiffen, and it might then be apparent to people around, which is a lack of tznius, and also a lack of dignity. B, when a person sleeps on his back, he's likely to place his hands on his organ, which once again is a problem because he might get himself going. So therefore, the only acceptable way to sleep is on one side. But whatever it is, the Gemara is asking, why are you saying Kriya Shema is a problem when you're lying on your back or on your side, implying that sleeping is not? Sleeping is the same issue. So the Gemara answers, there is a difference between Kriya Shema and sleeping. Amri. They answer, Migneh, when a person is sleeping, Kimatzli Shapir Dami. Even if you're not mamish on your side, if you're on your back, but you're leaning somewhat to the side, that's good enough. You shouldn't be flat on your back, but if you're kind of to the side, that's good enough. Mikra, well, when it comes to Kriya Shema, Apalgav Dematzli. Even if you are somewhat leaning to the side, Nami Asur, that's not good enough. Now, what is acceptable? So, if we're taking it the way I explained it, the problem is that it's still like lying on your back. But the implication is that if you're mamish on your side, which is acceptable, certainly acceptable for sleeping, the implication is that that's acceptable for Kriya Shema as well. Meaning, the problem is only on your back or on your face. But on your, or even halfway on your back. But if you're mamish on your side, the implication here is that that is acceptable for Kriya Shema. That's the Gemara simply understood. That's how the Rambam rules. And that's how the Shulchan Aruch rules. But Rabbeinu Yonah understands this Gemara to be saying no. Rabbeinu Yonah understands the Gemara to be saying that itself. For sleeping on your side is acceptable. But for Kriya Shema, even mamish on your side is not good. So therefore, Rabbeinu Yonah says that no, it's machlokes Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah, whether it's acceptable to say Kriya Shema while lying on your side. As we said, the Shulchan Aruch rules in accordance with the Rambam that it is acceptable to say Kriya Shema on your side. The Ramah presents Rabbeinu Yonah that no, one should not say Kriya Shema lying on one side. And therefore, again, we're talking about Kriya Shema Meir. If a person is being Yotze, David Meir did early Shabbos, whatever it is, he David Meir early, he's repeating Kriya Shema later, according to the Ramah. Again, those who follow the Shulchan Aruch, the Sfardim, you can say it lying on your side. But according to the Ramah, you should not say it lying on your side either. You should sit up. Okay. But now we'll see a qualification of that. So the Gemara says, is that so, that it's unacceptable to be reciting Shema while leaning to your side? V'Rabbi Yochanan Matzli V'Kari. That's how Rabbi Yochanan would recite Kriya Shema. He would lie down, back, flat, and then lean somewhat to the side. Why did he do that? And the Gemara answers, Shani Rabbi Yochanan, the Baal Basar Hab. Rabbi Yochanan was a heavy person. For him to shift position was difficult. And therefore, in the case of difficulty, it's acceptable to do it if you lean somewhat to the side. Meaning, he was lying on his back, he moved himself a little bit to the side, that's okay, when it's difficult to change position. But otherwise, just a second, otherwise, well, according to Rambam, you should lean completely to your side. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, you shouldn't be lying down at all. You should actually sit up. What's that? And leaning somewhat to the side. Well, we said before, for sleeping, that's certainly acceptable. For Kriya Shema, that generally is not acceptable. But since in his case, it would have been difficult to shift position, it's okay for that too. Yeah. It's on his back, leaning somewhat to the side.
That was the correction.
No, that's okay. We're saying he doesn't have to lean all the way to the side. We're differentiating between lying on your back and kind of tilting to the side, or actually turning onto your side. We're saying since he was heavy, it was difficult for him to actually make a full turn. He was able to say it leaning somewhat to the side, which is generally not acceptable. In the case of this sort of difficulty, it's okay. Also, ideally should be said sitting up. Ideally it should be said when you're actually still sitting up in bed.
They're violent of doing it on your side if you're too tired.
Yes. You should do it on your side because, again, after all, the same issue of COVID applies. And therefore, yes, if you're in bed and you're already lying down, Kriyashma Lamita, you say it on your side, it's okay. But again, my review would actually... Meaning, if you hadn't said Kriya Shema, Imam Shvin Yitzi, you're Kriya Shema now, you should sit up, unless the circumstances make it difficult.
Maybe this is what you were saying about the Sixth
Abimagam,
Rabbi
Yochanan's unity was spiritual. Oh, that's true, that's right. It's interesting to note. Here the Gemara just mentions in passing that he was portly. The Gemara in Bava Metzia describes at more length that he was very, very heavy. And he is known, right? He's known in other Gemaras as the epitome of beauty. Very interesting to note that. Not only that, if I remember correctly, it was Rabbi Yochanan that the Gemara in Yevamos says his beard didn't grow well. So they were talking about a very heavy man with a straggly beard, and yet he was one of the most beautiful people of his time. Known as one of the most beautiful people of his time. Okay. Fine, that's that. We move on. Now we go back, we refer back to the Mishnah. We're enough, Yud Gimel Amud Beis, six lines before the bottom. Now we refer back to the Mishnah, the big, broad subject of Hefsik, in middle of Kriya Shema, speaking, interrupting in middle of Kriya Shema. So the Mishnah had said as follows. The Mishnah had said, in the middle, in between the chapters, you can greet someone who commands respect, and you can respond to his greeting. In the middle of a chapter, which is more stringent, you can greet someone who commands fear, and you can respond to his greeting. That was Reb Meir's opinion as presented in the Mishnah. Now the Gemara is going to analyze this opinion. Meishiv machmasmai. Again, what the Mishnah said, you can greet someone who commands respect and respond. What does it mean that you can respond? Ilema mipnei hakavod. If it means that you can greet someone who commands respect and respond to someone who you need to respect, Hashta Mishal Shoyel, if you can initiate the greeting with such a person, you can certainly respond to his greeting. Responding to a greeting is more elementary than greeting a person in the first place, right? So therefore, if we're told that you can greet a person who you have to respect, is it necessary to say that you can respond? Ella. So rather, perhaps the Mishnah means as follows. Shoyel mipnei hakavod. Maybe when it says you can greet a person out of respect, greet a person you respect, well, meishiv shalom l'cholav. Then when it says that you can respond, it means that you can respond to anybody. So yes, we're saying two separate halachas here. In between the chapters, right, after b'sharecha, before you started b'haya, person you respect walks in, you can greet him. Certainly respond. The Mishnah doesn't need to say that. You can respond even to an ordinary person. Maybe that's what the Mishnah means. So the Gemara says, Eima Seifa. Well, let's see how that works with the continuation of the Mishnah. In the middle of a chapter, which is more stringent, you can't just greet a person because you respect him. You can only greet a person whom you fear. Then you can respond. So here we have the same question. When it says you can greet a person whom you fear and you can respond, does this simply mean you can respond to a person who you fear? Or does it mean you can take it, the response can be downgraded a step? You greet a person who you fear and you can respond even to a person you respect. So let's see. Meshiv mach matzmai. When it says you can respond, what does that mean? If the intent is that you can greet a person whom you fear in the middle of a chapter and you can respond, sorry, if all it means is you can greet a person whom you fear and you can also respond to such a person, it's like we said before, if you can greet a person whom you fear, you can certainly respond. That doesn't need to be stated. Elamit now covered. So maybe here also, it's like we suggested earlier, it means you can downgrade. You can greet a person whom you fear, and you can respond to a person whom you respect. So that will make Reb Meir work very well. Yes, each time, in the middle, you can greet the higher level and respond to the next level. You can greet a person whom you fear, respond to the person you respect. In between the chapters, we take it even down a notch. You can greet a person you respect, and you can respond to any person. Is that how Reb Meir is to be understood? Hainu de Rabbi Yehuda. That can't be, because that's actually what Rabbi Yehuda says next. The Mishnah presents a machlokes. We have Reb Meir as we saw. In the middle, in between, you can greet a person you respect and respond. In the middle, you can greet a person who you fear and respond. And then Rabbi Yehuda says a different opinion. He says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, be'emtza shel mipnei ayira u'meshiv mipnei akavoy. In the middle of a chapter, you can greet someone who you fear and respond to someone you respect. U'beprakim, and in between the chapters, shel mipnei akavoy, you can greet a person who you respect, u'meshiv shalom l'chol adam, and you can respond to any person. So if so, this downgrading suggestion, that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. But Reb Meir obviously disagrees. So what is he saying? He must be saying that, yes, in between you can greet a person you respect and respond to that person. In the middle you can greet a person who you fear and respond to that person only. And if so, our question returns. Why is it necessary to state that? So the Gemara answers, you know what, you're right. There's something missing in the Mishnah's text, and this is what we have to insert. Meprakim, yes, Shemeir's opinion is that we don't downgrade. Meprakim, in between the chapters, Shoyel Mipnei Kavod, you can greet someone you respect. And Rabbi himself is saying, and obviously it's needless to say that you can respond, but only to that person. Be'emta, and in the middle of a chapter, Shoyel Mipnei Ayira, you can greet someone whom you fear. Be'en Tzarech Roimar Shul Meishim, and it's needless to say that you respond. So yes, that's all Rabbi is saying. In between, you can greet and respond to someone you respect. In the middle, you greet and respond to someone you fear. No more than that. Needless to say, that's right. Reb Meir himself phrased it that way. Divrei Reb Meir. That's the opinion of Reb Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says, like we said, he downgrades it. In between the chapters, you can greet a person whom you fear and respond to a person whom you respect. And in between the chapters, Shel Mipnei Kavod, you can greet a person you respect, Umeshiv Shalom L'chol Adam, and you can respond to anybody. And this is indeed the halacha, essentially, as we mentioned, but First, let's just see. The Gemara will corroborate this understanding with the Braisa, and then we'll discuss how to apply this Lamaisa. Blina there. Tanya Namiha. Yes, we have a Braisa corroborating the understanding that yes, all Reb Meir meant to say is you can greet and respond the very same person. In between chapters, someone you respect. In the middle of a chapter, someone you fear. Hakore Shema. If a person is reading Shema, Upoga Boy Raboy, and he is greeted by his Rebbe, by Godly men, or someone else who's greater than him. So what's the rule? They pluck him. In between the chapters, Shayom Mipnei HaKavoy, you can greet someone you respect, Vein Tzorech Loimar Shehu Meishiv, and needless to say, you can respond to such a person. Ba'emtza, and in the middle of a chapter, Shayom Mipnei HaYira, you can greet a person whom you fear, and you can certainly respond to such a person, Divrei Rav Meir. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir, as we ended up construing his opinion. Rabbi Yehuda says, Be'emtza Shayom Mipnei HaYira, no, in between, in the middle of a chapter, you can greet someone who you fear, or Meishiv Mipnei HaKavai, and you can respond even to someone who you just respect. Or Baprakim, and in between the chapters, Shayel Mipnei HaKavod, you can greet someone you respect, or Meishiv Shalom Lichal Adam, and you can return a greeting to any person. Okay, so at least we worked out the opinions. As we said, yes, the halacha essentially follows Rabbi Yehuda, that yes, in the middle of Kriya Shema, if you're between the chapters, you can greet a person you respect, respond to anybody. In the middle, you greet a person you fear, and respond to a person you respect. So, is this how it's to be understood, halacha l'maisa? So halacha l'maisa, as we already mentioned, halacha l'maisa is that since the whole point here is to avoid offending somebody, not to cause strife. But since the norm, the accepted norm today is that in shul, in the middle of davening, it's known that people are davening, and you don't speak in the middle of davening, halacha l'maaseh is that it's not considered offensive if you're in the middle of davening not to greet somebody. And therefore today, no, if you're davening in shul, you do not greet or respond to another person's greeting. This might be relevant if a person is sitting at home and someone who comes in doesn't realize that he's davening. Yes, then it might be relevant. This could be relevant, for example, like the case we were talking about before. A person made early Shabbos. He's repeating Kriya Shema at home. Someone greets him. Okay, so this could be relevant. But in the typical case of a person sitting davening Maariv in Shul, no. That's why we have these signs in the Shul, also the Daber Be'is HaTfila, and that's to be understood as halacha l'maaseh. Okay. However, this halacha nevertheless holds a lot of practical relevance to us, although not for actually talking to people, but for a lot of other things. For example, this halacha is what the poskim use as a basis to determine the following shaila. You're in the middle of Bayrim. Can you interrupt for Kaddish? You hear Kaddish being recited. You hear Kedusha being recited. Can you interrupt? Or Baruch Hu, Moedim, all kinds of things. They have to know if you're allowed to interrupt for. What about Asher Yotzar? What about Amen? Okay, so we'll start with the most classic, with the most, we'll call it this way, the most simple example, the easiest example. The easiest example is Kaddish and Kedusha. Why is that the easiest example? Because that, according to most Poskim, is a no-brainer. If you're allowed to respond to a person who you have to respect, you can certainly respond to the call for Kaddish or Kedusha. There are some Poskim who say that not even that, because in the middle of talking to Hashem, why should you respond with something else? Why should you interrupt with something else? That's simply praising Hashem. But no, the general consensus of the Poskim is that yes, since you're allowed to respond to someone you respect, you can certainly respond to a call of Kaddish or Kedusha. So now let's just put this into perspective, halacha l'maisa, the way this works. And here, it breaks down to a few details. So first of all, when we talk about answering Kaddish or Kedusha in the course of Ma'ariv, Kriya Shema, Shachris, whatever it is, when you're in the middle of whatever you're in the middle of. So first of all, the permission to say Kaddish Kedusha applies only for the essential part of Kaddish Kedusha. I mean, there are a lot of amens and things that we say that are really just minhagim. Kaddish, the part, the response of Kaddish, that's the main part, is Amen Yehi Shemei Rabba, and the Amen after Damir Ambiyom. The Amen after Damir Ambiyom, at the end of the initial part of Kaddish. That is the Me'ikar Adin, the essential response that the Tzibur has to say. The Amen that we say at the beginning of Kaddish, Yizkadosh Kaddish Shemei Rabba, is a minig, meaning really, essentially, it's not really something you need to say a main to. It's really the chazan's, really just part of Yizkadosh Kaddish Shemei Rabba Be'omad Debrok Yeru say. But by the two Ve'imru Amens, that's the main place where we are enjoined to respond and say what we have to say. So those are the two Amens of those are the two parts of Kaddish that we're talking about here. Tiskabel, which is afterwards, is not even really part of Kaddish. Those are just requests that we add on. These are all minhagim. But when we talk about responding to Kaddish in the middle of davening, we're talking only about Yehi Shmei Rabba and the Amen of Damir Ambiyom. Kedusha. Kedusha is Kadosh, 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 and Baruch Kavod Hashem in Koyma. That's Kedusha. The other parts are once again minhagim. Nekadesh or Nakdishach is a minig preamble. It's not really the essential Kedusha. Yidloich Hashem La'olam is also not really the essential Kedusha. And therefore, you only interrupt with these things. Kadosh, Kadosh, and Baruch Kavod Hashem in Koyma. What's that? Oh, okay, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. So that's as far as Kaddish and Kedusha goes. So it's only these things. And
that you can answer anywhere?
And that you answer anywhere.
Not in Shemona Esrei.
What's that?
Not in the middle of Shemona Esrei.
Except in the middle of Shemona Esrei. In fact, it's from that that the place can infer that Kaddish and Kedusha can answer anywhere. Because there's a machloikis in the Gemara whether you can answer Kaddish and Kedusha in the middle of Shemona Esrei. So, the Paiskim say we know that Shemona Esrei, as far as Hepsik goes, is the most stringent. And there we have a Machloikis. Fine. So we rule that not. But, actually with regard to Shemona Esrei, but from the fact that there's a Machloikis with regard to Shemona Esrei shows that with regard to anything else, you interrupt any other recitation for Kaddish or Kedusha. Okay. Now, as Rav Jonathan just mentioned, the same applies for the Amen after Hakel HaKadosh, the Chazan is saying Chazan HaShatz. The Amen after Hakel HaKadosh and the Amen after Shemei HaTfilah are, for whatever reason, maybe we'll discuss a little bit, considered a very, very, very important Amens. So important that they are considered of equal footing with Kaddish and Kedusha. And those Amens also, you say whatever you're up to except Mamish in the middle of Shemei HaTfilah. Those two Amens, Shemei HaTfilah and Hakel HaKadosh. If you want to know quite how important these Amens are, the halacha is that if you come into Shul and the Tzibur is already davening Shemona Esrei, so you should only say Shemona Esrei if you figure you can finish before they get to that Amen. There's more to this, but I'm just saying in a basic way. If, yeah, Kedusha. But Lamaisa, however it would manifest, if Lamaisa, you can make Kedusha however it is, but you'll miss the Amen of Hakel HaKadosh, don't daven Shemona Esrei with the Tzibur. Daven by yourself afterwards and answer Amen to Hakel HaKadosh and Amen to Shemei HaTfilah. It's a surprising halacha.
About the start, if you missed the tefillah of the tzibur with the whole tzibur, you could say it together with the tefillah.
You
can't answer
on it. That's right. And what how is the halacha presented? You say it together with the bal tefillah, making sure that you're going to time your Hakel HaKadosh with his, so that you're with that communal. You didn't say amen, but you're part of the whole communal Hakel HaKadosh.
And the same thing with
Shemei HaTfilah.
You have to say it basically the whole thing.
That's right.
You still would say it.
Right, right.
When I try to do that, to keep up with the chazan,
I fail. You know, it's something with no concentration, like chasing the ball.
Right, so simply understood, so what happens if a person, practically speaking, I think you're expressing what everybody, if you're davening Shemoneh Esrei and making sure to keep up with the chazan, that's going to be a very challenging Shemoneh Esrei. And forget about Kavanah, I don't know, at least as far as I'm concerned. What's that? Well, you know, Shema Tefillah is required, that's the problem. You have to be with the chazan and Shema Tefillah too. So maybe you can separate from the chazan and make sure to meet up with him again. It's a little complicated. So therefore, the place can say that, yeah, if it's going to mess up your kavanah, you don't have to be too makbid about this. Even though, simply understood, it seems that the halacha would be that it would be better to daven Shemoneh Esrei by yourself afterwards. But the nice of the place can say, if you can start with the chazan, or even start a bit before the chazan, that's really the solution to what you're saying. Start before the chazan, and time it at least that you'll end Hakel HaKodesh with him. That's not as difficult. And then afterwards, the mice of the place can say that, yeah, if it's going to confuse the Kavanah, kind of forget about Shema Tefillah. But that's not Meikar Adin. Practically speaking, that's how the place can apply it. So I think, okay, I don't know if we've confused things here, but this is really just to illustrate the point that the Amen of Hakel HaKodesh and the Amen of Shema Tefillah are very essential Amens, and therefore, just a second, and therefore, they, like Kaddish and Kedusha, you can answer those Amens, middle of Shachris, Mincha, Meirif, well, Mincha is, but Shachris, Meirif, even if you're in the middle of Shema or the Brachas or whatever it is, any time except Shemoneh Esrei.
After Kedusha,
if you're davening with the Chazan, in that sort of case, if you're davening with the Chazan, you say Lidor Vador like the Chazan does. Yeah. One more thing I'll add, and this is something that people might not think of automatically, is that we say that Kaddish, Kedusha, Kaddish and Shema Tefillah, Kaddish and Shema Tefillah, you say anywhere except Shemoneh Esrei. Now, anywhere, we must stress, includes also Lekai Netzar. People think of that as part of Shemoneh Esrei. And in many senses, it is part of Shemoneh Esrei. But Kaddish, Kedusha, and Amen to Hakel HaKadosh and Shema Tefillah, you answer even in the middle of Elokei Netzar. Okay. That's as far as these. Now, why they are so important is a little bit vague in the Pesukim. Generally, Beis Yosef, many others say that it's because these are like the main amens of Shemoneh Esrei. Hakel HaKadosh is summarizing, is capturing the first three brachas. You know, Shemoneh Esrei is basically divided into three segments. The first three, the middle, and the last three. And Shemoneh Tefillah is capturing the whole middle of Shemoneh Esrei. That's what the Beis Yosef explains. So here's where things get a little bit puzzling. So you know what the place can say? The place can say, it's not as important because you end off with Amen there. Do the Sfarim do that, Lamaisa? So since you're finishing off Amavari Chesama Yisrael Basholim Amen, it's not so critical to say it with the Chazan. So that's fine for a Mitzchak. But what's with the rest of us, the Ashkenazim? The meaning is not to say Amen. The Paiskin don't seem to be bothered by that. They just stick with Hakel HaKadosh and Shema Tefillah, yes, Amavari Chesama Basholim, no. And I didn't really see this question addressed. Replaced by Shabbos. So that also, the Pesukim don't say such a thing. And it's possible that Shema Tefillah only because it's representing a whole collection of brachas. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that no, it's not just that. Possibly he was bothered by that point. Apparently also bothered by what's with Hamavarech HaSam Yisrael Basholeh. So the Aruch HaShulchan says no, it's not just that. Hakel HaKadosh and Shema Tefillah are in and of themselves very important domains. Hakel HaKadosh simply because of the essence of what it is. Hakel HaKadosh is basically a bracha on Kiviyachol, who Hashem is. Right? That would possibly grant that the status of the greatest bracha in Shemoneh Esrei. Shema Tefillah is basically, in terms of bakashas, in terms of requests, which is what Shemoneh Esrei, at least on weekdays, is about primarily, Shemaya Tefillah also represents in the greatest way what Shemoneh Esrei is about. So therefore, in and of themselves, not just in the fact that they're summarizing the first three and the middle three, in and of themselves, they are essentially the most important brachos, and therefore the most important domains, and that kind of explains why I'm a Baruch Hashem Yisrael Bashalim is not. Tonight's pshat, it's just... yeah, that's number one. And also, the Aruch HaShulchan is coming basically against the understanding of all the preceding Paiskim, but Aruch HaShulchan certainly... capable of saying his own pshat, and it's certainly worth quoting.
For instance, the most important bracha is the first one, not the third one.
What's that?
For instance, the most important bracha is the first one, not the
third. Kavana wise, right? Kavana wise, would we say because of that that it's essentially the most important bracha of Shema Esrei? I'm not sure. No, Baruch Hashem Yisrael Bashalom. The truth is that that's true also. Maidim is also noted as one of the most important brachos of Shemoneh Esrei, to the extent that according to, we'll discuss this later, according to certain Paiskim, just like Kavanah is prerequisite for the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, it's also prerequisite for Maidim. We'll put that on hold for now. Others say this in a different way. If you missed Kavanah in the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, this is a more handy thing to know. You can make it up by Maidim. Stipler says that. Okay, but oh, it's a Zechas Kayanim. Oh, Zechas Kayanim, a Chazin definitely does answer. He does not answer to the bracha of the Kayanim. When they make their bracha, the Baruch Hashem Yisrael Be'ava, the Chazin does not answer. He's in the middle of Shema Esrei. But the brachas of the Kayanim, he does answer, because that's mamish, it's built in as a part of the Shemoneh Esrei, and take into account, why does the Tzibur answer Amen? Essentially, they're also part of the Chazan Shemoneh Esrei. The Amen of the Kayanim is actually being mekabel, the brachas of the Kayanim is actually part of Shemoneh Esrei, and therefore you answer Amen. The Chazan answers Amen. If a person is saying Shemoneh Esrei along with the Chazan, he's up to that stage, he answers Amen. If you're somewhere else in Shemoneh Esrei, you do not answer Amen. But here too, if you're in Elikai Nitzar, you do answer Amen. Okay. So that's as far as that goes. So really, all this was just to bring out the point that the Amens, Tokel HaKadosh and Shemoneh Tefillah, are up there with Kadosh and Kedusha. You'll answer even in the middle of these different areas of davening. So what's with Baruch Hu and Moedim? Baruch Hu also, the Maaseh of the Paiskim say that you answer. This is both the Baruch Hu of Shacharis, that the Chazan says before Yitzhar, and the Baruch Hu of someone getting an Aliyah to the Torah. You would answer both of those the same way you answer Kaddish and Kedusha. In the middle of any part of davening except Shemoneh Esrei. Moedim, you say the words Moedim Anachnu Lach. That's all. Also, at whatever part of davening you are. You say the words Moedim Anachnu Lach, that's all. The Shemoneh Esrei, right. You bend your head so as not to look like you're not a part of what's going on. Right. Yeah. Okay. So that's as far as that goes. So again, we have a lot of talk here. Again, just basically Kaddish, Kedusha, Amen Shemeh Tefillah, and Okela Kaddish. And as we're seeing now also, Baruch Hu, and the words Moedim Anachnu Lach, you answer at any point in Davin. Amens of other brachas, you don't. Period. Clear cut. Two other things to address is, first of all, what's with Asher Yotzah? And that also is nice and simple enough. You don't. You go to the bathroom in the middle of davening. Asher Yotzah, you wait until after Shemoneh Esrei. Until after Tach. Yeah. I don't remember. Asher Yotzah?
No, like Yom Lo Hashem, Yom and regular Amens.
Yes, and in the middle of Pesukah Zimra, you are more lenient about regular Amens. You can answer Amen to a regular thing in Pesukah Zimra in between. Bein Aprokim. Yeah. What was the other thing you said? Yim Loich, I don't remember. Possibly. I don't remember. If so, then yes. Yeah. Okay. Ashayotah, middle of Pesukah Zimra? Yeah. Rabbi Didi says that also Ashayotza Amelo Psukat Zimra Lemaisa Lameiko. Okay. One last question to address before we move on, also in this context of what do we say and what don't we say. What happens if a person wasn't able to get a talis or tefillin until the middle of davening? And he has to put one on in the middle of davening. So, here also we're going to differentiate between Sfaradim and Ashkenazim. The Shulchan Aruch paskins l'maisa. But what? Asher Yotza. In Psukat Zimra. Psukat Zimra. Oh, so Asher Yotza. Oh. In the middle of Psukat Zimra, you would finish that parak. But not in the Birkas Kriya Shema. Because Kriya Shema, you wait till after Tachnun. Yeah. But Tachnun in general, you're not supposed to have Epsik between Shemane Esra and Tachnun. Tachnun should be right after Shemane Esra. I don't think that would be different than anything else, but I'm not sure. The Pashtus. Yeah. Okay, fine. Talis and Tefillin. This is also something that generally won't be relevant, but could be relevant. Talis and Tefillin. So the Shulchan Aruch follows the opinion that says Talis and Tefillin. You make a bracha in between the prakim. You know, as soon as you get your Talis and Tefillin, you finish whatever you're in the middle of, the bracha you're in the middle of, or the parak you're in the middle of, and you put it on with the bracha. So if you get a talis and tefillin in the middle of Yitzhar, you finish Yitzhar Amayris, you put it on with the bracha.
Why is that so important that you should make a half tefillin? You don't have to have your talis and tefillin on the
top. Okay.
If you put it later, you'll...
Okay. So, Rabbi Yitzchok is an Ashkenazi, and he's bothered by what the Ramah was bothered by. Same blood. So the Ramah basically goes and says, he differentiates, he says no. Talis, he says exactly what you said. Talis, there's no chiyuv to put it on right now. There's no essential chiyuv to have it on while you're davening. And therefore, if you want to put it on, put it on. But the bracha isn't justified. Put it on, make the bracha after Shemone Esrei. Tefillin is a different story. Because tefillin, essentially, is a chiyuv to be wearing all the time. We don't. We only wear it during davening. Fine. But during davening, at least we relate to tefillin as something that you should have on you all the time. And therefore, we say that whenever you get it, you are actually mechuyev to put it on. That's A. And therefore, not Shemone Esrei. Shemone Esrei is excluded from this, but everything else is included. Yes. Yeah. As we'll clarify. We'll finish clarifying this. So tefillin A, it's a chiyuv to have it on all the time, at least while we're davening. That's our approach, right? B, it says specifically about Kriya Shema, clearly Kriya Shema below tefillin. When you say Kriya Shema, you actually express the pasuk that commands us to put tefillin on. And the Gemara says that if you say Kriya Shema without wearing tefillin, and you're busy saying, and Hashem says to put them on, it says, Kilu Meidei Zesheker Batzmer. Practically speaking, that's called hypocritical. And therefore, once again, but that night is not the Zman of Tefillin. It's a different story. So, therefore, it's problematic to say Kriya Shema without Tefillin on. So, considering both of these points, Tefillin does warrant the bracha. It's considered a necessity, and therefore it does warrant the bracha even in the middle of davening. However, here there's one more distinction to draw. So, yes, putting on Tefillin in the middle of Shacharis, you'll put it on with the bracha. But here there's one more distinction to draw. If you're in the middle of Yotzer Ar, for example, wait till the end of the bracha. Or in the middle of Avar Rabba, wait till the end of the bracha. However, if you're in the middle of Kriya Shema, which is actually more severe than the brachas, you get your tefillin in the middle of the Ahavta, don't wait till the end of the parsha, put it on now. Why? Once again, like we said before, every word of Kriya Shema should be said with tefillin. And therefore, once you're in the middle of Kriya Shema, doesn't matter, middle of chapter, between chapters, say it right, put it on right now with the bracha. What's that? Oh, I was bothered by this. Okay, good, just a minute. Yeah? What's that? That the poskim do not seem to require. L'maisa yoytze kriya shema without tefillin. And there's no chiyuv to go back and say it. if you put on tefillin later in the day, you say Kriyat Shema just because you want to say something with tefillin on. But there's no chiyuv to go back and say it.
If you're
you get your tefillin,
and you get the tefillin, you put on the tefillin.
Put them on the tefillin
and
with the bracha. With the bracha, and continue from wherever you were up to.
You don't have to go back to
Now, Nechemiah is asking, just 1 second. But Nechemiah is asking, 1 minute, we said that the necessity to put tefillin on is because if you're talking about the mitzvah of putting on tefillin without putting tefillin on, that is like testifying falsely against yourself. So you can ask, what's the story with tzitzis? Should be the same thing.
It's only a fear when you have a four-cornered bag.
Ah, okay.
You don't have to wear four-cornered
bag. Very good. So that's basically coming back to the same point that we said just before. Random target that we said just before. When we say that chiyuv is not an essential obligation, it's also more than that. You don't have the issue of meyid edus sheker ba'atzma either, because what do you meyid edus sheker? What's the edus that you're saying in Kriyat Shema? You're saying that when you wear a four-cornered garment, you have to wear tzitzis. I'm not testifying falsely. I'm not wearing a four-cornered garment, so I'm not wearing tzitzis. Right? So therefore, we don't have that same urgency to be saying Kriyat Shema while you have a talis on. But tefillin, yes. Tefillin is what the place can call a choivas gavra. That is an essential chiyuv on you, whatever the case is. And therefore, saying Kriyat Shema and mentioning the chiyuv to wear tefillin while you don't have tefillin on is problematic. That's also true. You're wearing a talis katan anyways, in general. Okay, that's as far as this issue goes.